You're listening to Ambition Without Compromise, the podcast that is planting a flag for women of color who are ready to unapologetically center their unique vision, personal legacy, joy, and wholeness in the pursuit of the next level in their business and careers. I am your host, Monique Shields. I'm an executive coach, entrepreneur, mom, wife, and champion of badass moguls in the making. Let's dive in. Hello, good people, and welcome back to the podcast. Glad to be back in the seat and here with you again. Today's episode is going to be a quickie, okay? I'm going to be keeping it real with y'all right now up front. I have less than 20 minutes to go pick up my child, and I am just committed to talking about this topic because I've been like sort of pulling in inspiration from a lot of disparate sources, a lot of disparate conversations over the last few weeks, maybe even months, if I really think about it, before this has begun to take some shape. So there probably will be some more exploration to do in the future. But I was like, we got to start cracking this bad boy open. We got to start getting into it, okay? And so I want to talk to y'all about this thing that we're waiting on, this magical moment that we're waiting on that is never coming, this magical right time, the time when you feel ready, when things are in place, when you have done enough, when you have prepared enough, and you know that this is up for you, that this is a challenge for you right now. The whole thing is a trick. Go ahead and have a little spoiler alert there. But the way you know this is up for you is when you keep saying to yourself or to friends, when you're talking about the next chapter that you're ready to open or the next thing that you're kind of considering, because you're feeling stuck, you're feeling stagnant. Something is like, it's time to make a change. And you keep saying stuff like, well, I just have to think about, or I just have to decide, or I've got to give some more thought to, or I just need to do some preparation. There's like, I just. And where my clients will run into this in our coaching conversations, I immediately just go and pose the question back to them. For example, I want to leave this career post that I'm at. I'm in a senior position somewhere. I have a lot of the seniority and power and leadership. I've got a lot of influence where I'm at. And something in me is telling me that I want to do something like left field. And it maybe harkens back to my childhood. Maybe there's something that has always kind of been with me, but I've always done something like somewhat adjacent to it because it felt more responsible or respectful or accessible, or like it would make my family more proud or would provide me with more safety or whatever the thing might be. But what you truly want to do is some underwater basket weaving, let's just say, right? Since you were a wee lad, that's all you've ever wanted to do. And you're like, you know what? I'm coming to this point in my career and I keep thinking like, do I really want to do this? I ask the question, do you really want to do this? Yes. Okay, well, what's required for you to do? Well, I just need to think through if it's the right time. What would make it the right time? Oh, well, if I had accomplished a bit more here in my post, you know, I want to add a few more things to my resume because that would make my resume look better. Just round things out. Y'all, this is all danger language. Danger, 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 danger language. And I'm like, oh, okay. Round your resume out for what? For what opportunity or for whom? Who needs to see this on your resume? Oh, well, I guess I don't really need it if what I'm trying to do is left field from what it is that I'm doing right now. So I don't know, but there's just so much to do here. There's so many things that maybe I haven't like given this a fair shot. I haven't been here as long as I could. There's so many more. You know what I mean? We start backing ourselves into just deep limitation because we are fearful of giving ourselves permission to be specific about what it is that we truly want. Leading with our wants feels reckless when we have always led with what we think we need, what is required. When you lead with necessity for so long, and you reach a point in your life where there's something is usually in place where it's like either things are air quote, good enough, meaning I've got, you know, some savings and investments and things in place where I feel like financially I've gone further than I ever thought I could. And I'm actually in a pretty decent, you know, place. You know, maybe I got some equity, some stocks that are vesting soon, or I have been, you know, like I'm in a good spot financially. But I also then feel like I have like very high stakes with this brand that I've built, this professional brand that I've built to this point, that make it feel wild to step away. So there's like this back and forth balancing act that you're doing in your mind, this like very loose and ever evolving and shifting, like it's very shifty math, right? And when you're stuck in this place and you're really like really evasive, like even beginning to go down this line of questioning for yourself, like I just sort of shared as an example with what I might do for a client, and you can't give yourself good, clear reasons or rationale, I want you to disrupt everything for just a moment and say, well, let me see if I get beneath the enoughness, this imaginary point to which I think like I'll deserve or be safe enough to make this move on my behalf, to choose from a place of wanting as opposed to a place of necessity. Let me just attempt to get beneath, because I will tell you this, y'all, what's familiar to you will not save you. Sometimes we think that because familiarity is, it's familiar, it's comfortable, it's like, it's a known place, there are like worn grooves there in our mind. It's like, I know what's here. And because I know it, that means it's safe. And that's not true. It's not true at all. Just because you know a place, just because you know an experience, just because you know a specific context does not make it more safe. The more known it feels to you, because it really, knowing something, it's really a feeling that you have because you've just been exposed to something for a really long period of time. It becomes like white noise. All the nonsense becomes white noise. And you actually become, I think, numb to the dangers that actually await you in this place of what is truly becoming stagnation, right? When you can sense that there's no more growth here, that something inside of you is slowly dying day after day, that the things that were maybe not, you know, feeding it fully, but were still making you feel like you're growing in other ways, you're being stretched in other ways, you're getting to see new things, like all of the inputs that were compensating for the fact that you weren't focused solely on feeding this core element of yourself, this core yearning inside of you. When those become not enough anymore, or it's just like, I've kind of been to the peak, I've been to the mountaintop, and there's no more here. It's almost like I can no longer hide from what lies beneath, the truth that has always been there. And we can sense ourselves beginning to stagnate and rot, because that's what happens when we're stagnant. I'm not talking about pausing to rest. I'm not talking about intentionally slowing down or stepping away. Like, I'm not talking about that kind of stopping, and stagnating are not the same thing. Okay. Stopping many times is on the path to growth, is a necessary destination or pause that you need to make along the way to actually expand, right? To take in what has occurred and be able to, you know, gestate into something new, right? Sometimes we need to cocoon it up so that we can turn into a butterfly. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about stagnation. I'm talking about when you feel like the part of you that is the most vibrant, the most interesting, the most odd, the most unique has been cut off, is not being fed. When you talk about things like, oh yeah, I used to spend so much time with my photography. I used to spend so much time with my writing. I used to spend so much more time researching X, Y, and Z, you know, when I was younger, when I was a kid, when I was in college, when I was whatever, whatever. And I've kind of lost track of that part of myself for the most part. And I've had other things that I've been able to do in the meantime so that I don't feel the pain or the loss, the grief of feeling so distant from that core part of myself, but it's no longer there. It's no longer enough. And so that part of me is actually under attack. It's rotting. It doesn't just stay. It begins to devolve. You can't cut something off from nourishment and expect it to survive, right? And so I want to talk about what it means to move from this place, because it can feel really, 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 really risky. And I think the risk in one form kind of comes from a deep knowing that if I pursue this new path, if I make this new decision, that I'm going to have to look in the mirror and not recognize myself for a little bit. I'm going to have to be with the discomfort of some new person taking the reins, some new part of me or some young part of me taking the reins. And I've never let her be expressed in that way before. I've had such high control over how I've led my life, over how I've gotten things done with all of these other coping mechanisms that have come into place for my survival since I was very young, right? We've got our stuff. And now I recognize that in order for this next phase to come to fruition, for that to happen, I'm going to have to relinquish the reins. I'm going to have to let this other part of me, this free and creative and open, this vulnerable part of me, come up to the driver's seat. And I might have to get in the back. I might have to get in the trunk at some point. That feels so risky. It feels so, so risky internally, right? And so I want us to consider what it might be like, though, from a very optimistic place to release the reins of control. Because, y'all, when we've been controlling things for so long, decades, decades of our lives, it's exhausting. Like, we're also worn down by that, by this way of being that has been purely fueled by survival or feeling as though we, you know, we're supposed to. That's how we were going to earn love. That's how we were going to find security and safety. That is how we were going to feel like we were in our right minds and our right selves, and that like everything could be all right if only we could, you know, be in this tight gripped control. And there's this other part of you that is so strong. And actually, this is reminding me of I came on my Instagram months ago. I don't know. I was leaving from my my spin class. I take like indoor cycling a few times a week. And this class was really unique for me because I had been away for a while. It's been like start again, stop again, start again, stop again with just like recovering from the baby and like my immune system, like constantly getting sick and all this stuff. So I was like on those like, okay, I'm getting back into the group, one of those moments. And I think maybe I had been short on sleep from like my baby being up the night before or something. And I remember I just was like, okay, I'm going to tap in. And the instructor that day just happened to, I don't know, she would, you know that you get in those rooms and these instructors just be saying all kinds. Sometimes they just speak the Holy Ghost out of you. Like the whole room starts to change. And that's my alarm to leave to get my child, but I'm going to wrap this up. And she struck a chord, and I don't know. I cannot remember what she said. It was something about like, just lean in and you can, you know what I mean? Like you can have it, all your dreams can come true. And I remember closing my eyes, which is something I do often, but this is the first time I had visualized myself, my younger self. I was a child on my bike and like in my neighborhood, in my like little suburban neighborhood. And I just imagined myself, I mean, I was tiny, like just a lanky little knobby knee thing. And I felt so strong and free. I have never done this before. This is not like I'm a coach. I do coachy stuff. I do lots of visualizations. I love a good visualization. But she is not someone I have specifically connected with, especially not for strength. And I could hear the concrete of my street beneath my bike tires. I feel like in my imagination, I was actually even more adventurous than maybe I was at that age. But we disconnect. We disconnect from that part of ourselves. We leave those air quote childish things behind and we get serious about life and we, you know, put on new coping skills and different things toughen us up and rough us up. And we forget that that wild and free little version of us has so much power. Like, I rode that bike in that spin class until I was probably within an inch of crossing over to the other side. Like, I was so dialed in because I had tapped into this part of myself that was unbridled, that was untethered, that was unserious, that was, you know, not thinking about all the things she needs to be responsible for and all the people that she has to take care of or protect and all the things that she should be getting done, all the shoulds, right? This is a time for me, pre-shoulds. Ooh, can y'all remember a time pre-should? A time in your life before you really we're bogged down with all the things you should be doing, that is one of the most powerful aspects of who you could be, of who you have been, right? And this part of you, I don't know, we all have different things in our childhood, have different, you know, experiences. This was just something for me. I think I was maybe like 9 or 10 years old, something like that. For you, you might have been like 3 or 4. You know, some of us have those kinds of memories where we can tap back into those parts of ourselves. And it's less about like, you need to visualize your little girl self, which I do highly encourage y'all to try to spend time with your little selves, especially, you know, if you have the support of a therapist or a coach who does that kind of work, it can be like transformational. But it's less about that. And it's a lot more about realizing that we don't need to earn the right to be free. We don't need to earn the right to play in our lives. We don't need to earn the right to experience magic. We don't need to earn the right to feel safe exploring our truths. We don't need to earn that right. We don't need to earn the right to feel safe exploring our own truths. And for me, that was like one beautiful example of like, okay, I can trust. I can trust that if I take off my serious big girl grown up Monique hat and all of the different coping skills and mechanisms that I use to like get things done and like have this tight grip on things sometimes, you know, and make decisions about like what's the right next thing to do and open up the next chapter. Like she's actually less equipped to do that. My little 9-year-old self whipping and wheeling on that bike, she might be more equipped. So what would it be like to invite some of that energy forward and to like give myself permission to even begin to explore some of the questions on my heart and not from this place again of responsibility and control. I just need to have a plan. I just need to think through. No, you don't. You know exactly what you want to do. You know exactly what you want it to look like. You know. She knows. That part of you, that young part of you that is tapped into freedom, she knows. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Beyonce, because I really feel like that is part of what we are seeing right now. Beyonce talks a lot about her lost childhood and everything that she has conquered and built and was sacrificed in order to do that. What was sacrificed? When you're 15, 14, 13, you know, like hopping on stages, hopping on tour buses, building one of the most visible brands in the entire world, one of the most recognizable and powerful symbols of music and culture in the entire world. And honestly, in the history of music, art, and entertainment, like she's up there. There's a sacrifice that comes with that. And I think what we're seeing in Renaissance and now in Cowboy Carter, y'all, I hope y'all are like all the way into it. I know. If you listen to me, I feel like if you're not a Beyonce stan, you're like, you're cool with her. You know what I mean? Like, all are welcome here, but it just seems odd if you're not kind of, you know, on the same page. But I think that's what we're seeing in this Act One and Act Two of her like cultural reckoning, this way of creating that comes from a place of determined freedom, of like an insatiable drive to not give a fuck. Like, I've been marveling at this woman. Like, Cowboy Carter is a moment. The fact that it's like post-genre. She said, you know what? I don't do genres anymore. I make music. This is Beyonce. I'm putting Beyonce on the track. I am putting my heart, my soul, my curiosities, my insecurities, my ideas, my friends, my family. I'm throwing them all on the track because I can. And not like haphazardly with like, without research, without thought, without depth, without soul. But I'm allowing something beyond something. She used the word, I was reading her press release. She used the word purity. Like that's a part of the relationship to sound and to music. Like she's like, I use like the rustling of the winds and I think there's like branches. And I love that in the press release, they talk about that she uses like, it's a little ASMR for you. Like the tapping of her nails is a part of the percussion of some of the songs. Like she's just like, I'm get into it. It's just, it is what it is. And she's topping the freaking charts, being so left field, doing whatever she wants to do, right? Thoughtfully, with intention, with rigor. But it's like, I really do think that we are seeing like baby Beyonce is out to play, right? The young teenage Beyonce that didn't get to go and, you know, experience a lot of these, like, the freeness, the carefreeness, the playfulness, the vibrancy, like, the free will. I love when she started experimenting with cursing on her albums, for real. It felt like watching a middle schooler or high schooler, like, yeah, like, kind of master their own language and feel their own force out loud and, like, play with it in her music. And so, anyway, as I said, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the queen, if we're going to talk about getting free, okay? And I think that this is also, I'm going to carry this a little bit further, just because sometimes we'll look at someone like Beyonce and we'll see, oh, but she's like, she's a bajillionaire and she's super, super successful. So she's earned the right. She's in a position where she is free. She is safe to do X, Y, and Z things. She's safe to be free. She's earned the right to be free. And I'm not going to say you're wrong. But I don't think that Beyonce actually haphazardly earned the right to play. And I'm not going to speak to her specific story. I just want to say, like, I don't think we have to anchor so much on, like, there's a certain dollar amount that needs to be in your account before you can make the decision to, again, explore your own creative expression, to explore freedom for yourself, to explore the thing that is calling to you and that is on your, that is placed in your heart. I do think sometimes we have to think about reality and, like, the pros and the cons. We have to, like, weigh the risks and the costs, but that doesn't mean we hold back on committing to making the move, making the shift, turning the page, opening a new chapter, targeting the exit, set an exit date. You know what I mean? Like, I cannot speak for Beyonce, but I can speak for myself. Once you commit to the exit, when it was time for me to exit corporate, there was something that had to shift in me emotionally. I had to feel different, right? I decided that, like, it was no longer worth it. And motherhood did that for me. I've mentioned this millions of times before, but motherhood was what triggered me from thinking about it to being about it because it was like, oh, nope, the urgency is now high. I now get that, like, I need to own my time. I feel it. But that doesn't mean I'm dropping everything today. It means I put a plan into place. Matter of fact, I had a whole program around this called the Pre-Exit Strategy. I did a whole workshop series that was specific to helping women of color in particular, and lots of moms of color, say, okay, I know that this time is coming for me specifically to exit corporate. What do I need to put in place? How do I need to begin to talk to myself? What questions should I be asking of myself and of my network? Like, how do I begin to position myself so that I can, like, begin to reorient in my life? Because that's what is required. It's just a commitment to the shift, a commitment to the decision. You have to decide first. And I'm not going to say that decision comes easily, doesn't come lightly, but it's not because I didn't make the decision because, like, oh, now I have all of the money in the bank and in my investments and, like, I'm fully set up for all of this stuff. It's like, no, what is required? I had to even come to, like, what numbers made me feel comfortable or not comfortable. I had to talk to my husband about, like, okay, if I'm going to leave my job along this timeline, what makes us feel, you know, financially comfortable for me to do that? What is required, right? And then what do I dream it to be? Can I give myself a little bit of freaking space and breathing room to breathe some life into this dream, right? To let that little girl on her bike at 9 years old who doesn't give a damn, who just wants to have fun, who wants to feel the wind, who wants to try something new, who wants to take some risks and do a trick and ride faster than she did yesterday. Like, let her have a moment. What would that look like as I'm building, for instance, a coaching practice for the first time independently? Whatever your version of that is, you're a super responsible person. She has a role to play. Her role is to say, okay, let's crunch the numbers. Let's actually make a plan. Let's ask some practical questions around what functionally needs to happen. And then along what timeline that thing needs to happen. Like, those things matter, right? Beyonce is one of the most strategic people that probably has ever graced this earth. At least it seems that way to me. And so I don't think this goes without strategy, but I do also think that that is only one part of the equation and it needs to stay in its lane. A much bigger part of the equation that helps us get over the hump in the first place is arising to the urgency and giving ourselves permission to allow ourselves to even feel the urgency. I think there's nothing kind of like, you know, ain't no drug like motherhood. Like, it'll knock you upside the head with what needs to happen. But I don't think, like, it has to be some incredibly drastic shift in our life that helps us turn the corner on stuff like this, right? Helps us turn the corner on waiting, helps us shift out of stagnation or not to tolerate it. So you get to decide. You get to decide how much money, how many accomplishments, not who my resume will look good. For who, for what, for why? For who, for what? It'll feel better if, why? For why? Get specific, y'all. Get specific. And let's stop this passive waiting and calling it responsibility. Let's stop this, you know, right moment narrative. It's not true. This mystical moment is never coming. And let's get into the considering of, what is it that I require? What is it that I want? Let that side of you, the serious side of you, get busy on creating some plans. But first, you've got to allow the part of yourself that is willing to be free, that knows that there's a bigger and broader expression of you waiting for you, that's ready to dive into it. Let her help you dream it up. Let her lead in making the commitment. Trust that you can submit to the strength that is absolutely there. And then, you know, work back it into a plan. Back it into a plan. All right, y'all. My daughter is going to be a little tardy for dance class tonight. I made that executive decision about 8 minutes ago. And I'm not a bad mom for it. I just was trying to balance this out and it wasn't perfect this evening. And you know what? Like a little 10-minute issue here, I think it'll be all right. Especially since the first 10 minutes of class, they just be running around in circles and kind of playing before they get into it. So let that be a lesson to all of y'all. We don't have to get this perfect, but I'm doing the best I can. And I hope that y'all are doing the best you can. And we're giving each other grace in all of this. I hope that this episode has served. I hope that if you are sitting in stagnation and not realizing, I hope that if you are sitting in, I need to wait for the right time, or I just need to think through, or I just need to figure out, or I just need to shore up X, Y, and Z, that you bust down those walls and get real with the truth of what's going on here, which is knowing that you don't have to cling to what's familiar and that you're not going to find your freedom. Your salvation will not come from this place, that you have everything you need to make the move if you give yourself permission to let that part of you actually dream it up and connect you to the urgency of it all. All right, y'all. Until next time, I hope this episode served. Bye. Y'all, truly, thank you for listening to Ambition Without Compromise. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts so more women like you can discover us. I'd also love to engage with you more real time. If you're on social media, come follow me on Instagram at Monique R. Shields. Don't forget that R. You can also access my newsletter at moniquershields.com/newsletter to receive bi-weekly gems on the best and most impactful lessons I'm learning in my many roles in both life and as a coach to powerhouse women across the country. Again, that's moniquershields.com/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.